All right, my name is Ian Wickham. I'm 16 years old. Today is November 26, and I'm speaking with Mary Arnold, who is my grandmother. We are recording this interview in Flint, Michigan. How would you describe yourself to someone who has never met you?
I am a very sober person. I love to laugh, but when you first meet me, I'm quite sober, and you wonder if I do ever laugh. My family is the most important thing to me, and happy thoughts make me cry, or exciting things make me cry. I love to be right in the middle of everything with my family.
Okay. How do our dogs factor into that?
Our dogs are very important. I have Heidi. Ian has Rory. The two girls are just, they're standard schnauzers. They're just a couple of years apart. Heidi is the younger one. They play together all of the time. They do think my bed is their bed. So during the day, they lay on the bed, and some part of them, either back to back, or one will have its paw around the other one. Family is important to them also.
All right. You think family is very important, which I definitely agree with, but what about friends? Did you like school?
I did like school. I didn't have a lot of friends because schoolwork was more important to me. And this is a case of where my best friend and I didn't see eye to eye until we were 21 years old. I was very studious. I was always a good girl in school, and therefore teachers would send me on errands. And I enjoyed that. And now this was many years ago, but when it was time for classes to change, someone had to go to the office and ring the bell. And I was always allowed to leave class 3 minutes early so I could go to the office and ring the bell. And that was an honor.
Okay, so you were very studious. Was it your parents that affected this upon you? What were your parents like as you grew up, and how did they sort of direct you in the way that you went?
My parents, the Great Depression was just ending. And my parents were very serious people, very concentrating very hard on making their home that they would always have for their girls. I had one sister. We were their most important. They worked with us all the time. Sometimes on a Sunday evening, my father loved to rock. And he would make a great big dishpan full of popcorn. My sister would sit on one side of the dish, and I would sit on the other side of the dish, and we would rock and eat popcorn. And he would read to us. Reading was very important. And of course, if it was winter time and snowing, my mother would make fudge and go outdoors and get a pan of snow to test the fudge in. And of course, the testing was every bit as good as the fudge.
Okay. So where did we come from? You know, how did we get to America? And how did we end up, you know, where we were in the Great Depression?
Well, my parents were both born in the United States. My grandparents were born in the United States. A couple of my great-grandparents came from Germany, and two more came from the Netherlands. And they immigrated here, we would say now, and that became very important in our lives.
Okay. Are there any traditions, stories, or jokes that you know of that have been passed down through generations?
I have to think about that, Ian. I'm sure there are some. Of course, Christmas was always Christmas. It was about the baby Jesus and not about presents. Now, my sister and I did hang a stocking, and that would be one of my father's stockings that we hung, and there would be a little treat in there, and there would be an orange and nuts, maybe a little book, nothing that as children expect today. We always went to church, and of course during Advent, there were many things going on in church that we attended as a family. Christmas Eve, we had oyster stew for dinner. We always had oyster stew for dinner. And I was foolish in those years, and I didn't care for oysters. But my mother would give me a dish of the broth, and that was very good. And then later in the evening, we would go to Christmas Eve service. And with lighted candles, we would finish the evening, O Holy Night.
Okay. So we just finished Thanksgiving, and we have a tradition that Thanksgiving is always at this house. How long has that been a tradition, and has it always been at wherever you are located, or is it?
My parents always had Thanksgiving because they had the largest home, and our family was very small. We did not live in a mansion, I don't mean to imply, but two sets of grandparents and an aunt and uncle, and then a great aunt and uncle. And we were always at my parents' home. And then after my husband and I were married, well, somehow we just seemed to start having Thanksgiving. And the last 20 years, I have asked my children to all come home on Thanksgiving, that I would like to continue having Thanksgiving as long as I am able to do that. And they are wonderful about doing it.
So you've talked about how you sort of started in the Great Depression, but it was nearly ending. So what was your childhood like? I know you were very studious. I know education was important. But how was, you know, home life when you were not at school, when you're not studying? How was that for you?
Our household was always a serious household. My mother particularly was determined that her children would never have to live through what she and my dad had just been through. And so she was very, very serious. Everything was black and white. There was no gray area. But we had fun together. She'd play out in the yard with us. My dad was the one who would do most of the reading. When I was about 8 years old, my parents had, it was my grandparents' trailer that my parents borrowed. And we went out east to a campground. We had a picnic table right beside our trailer, along with a grill. And not too far away, there was another trailer. And this lady was a teacher. And she would come over every morning while we were having breakfast or just finishing breakfast, because she wanted to talk to my sister and I. She said, "You speak the best English. You have no accent like we have here in the East." We would pick blueberries, and my mom would make a blueberry cobbler in the cast iron skillet. And also, there was a lake that had a tide, and I had little rubber swimming shoes, which I forgot to bring back when we were through swimming, and the tide took them out to sea. My childhood was serious, but it was happy, and we always knew we were loved.
Okay. Now that we've talked about your childhood, and as times progressed and things got easier, harder, how was it like raising, you know, my mom and my aunt and uncle?
It was wonderful. Our children were the most important thing in our life. I never did anything for myself, except go to my church circle, because, well, John and I thought the children were most important and their activities were most important. And of course, we wanted to do more for them than their parents were able to do for them because of the circumstances. We went to church together. We went on vacations together. We went to the ocean together. My son's signet ring was lost in the sand while we were swimming. It was interesting what happened to it. Our children wanted a dog. My husband and my son had very serious allergies, so he would not even consider it for them, even though they kept asking for a dog. He would not have a dog with the allergies. And one Sunday he said, "Now we're going to go down to Detroit." "Why are we going down to Detroit?" "Well, there's a dog show that I'd like to go to." And I said, "John, that is just plain mean, to take the children and I to a dog show when we cannot have a dog." And he said, "Now let's just be good-natured about this and go and look at the dogs." And fortunately for us, the first group of dogs we saw were Schnauzers. And of course, the lady's pitch was true to her word. She didn't know about the allergies in our family. And she said, "One of the most important things I can tell you about Schnauzers is they are good for families that have allergies." Well, needless to say, he lost his argument. And a few months later, we got a dog. The kids adored it. Becky was 3 years old. She carried it around in a Hammety bag, a grocery shopping bag, when it was just little. I think I've wavered. We need another question.
Oh, no, that's fine. I know I've heard many times about, because we started out with mini Schnauzers and went on to standards. Can you tell me some of the funny stories about how the dogs affected the life in the growing family?
Well, of course, they reigned supreme. And every one of the dogs except this last dog I have. Loved the children, played with the children, were good with the children. But they were obviously John's dogs, and that wasn't something that he set out to do. It was just they understood who was the leader in the family. The children played with them, played with the puppies. They helped take care of them. The two minis, they didn't help as much. Their biggest help with the minis was that they played with them, went out in the yard and ran with them. These were all good things for the puppies. Then we started with the standard schnauzers, and we were told immediately, don't expect these dogs to be anything like your minis. They are totally different, and they are totally different. They're more independent. They are better watchdogs. They're very loving. And after my husband died and I lost the dog that we had, my children insisted I needed another dog. And I said, no, I have problems, and therefore I would not be able to train a puppy. I couldn't get down on my hands and knees to clean up after a puppy. Not a problem. We'll take care of that. So my daughter wanted me to go for a ride one day, and I saw the sign on the place, and I said, I'm not going in here. And she said, oh, we're just going to go in and look. And there was this little bitty puppy. The runt was smaller. Then there was this little puppy that weighed a few ounces more, and her sister that weighed a number of ounces more, and then the next puppy weighed 3 pounds more than that. And Heidi was crying and whimpering and looking at me with the most pathetic look, and the lady said, oh, why don't you pick her up and hold her? And I said, no, I don't think I should do that. And she said, oh, I think you should. And I picked her up, and she stopped whimpering immediately, full of love. She came home. She's a little pill, but she frequently will sit on my lap for 2 or 3 hours in the evening, just keeping me company because she knows that's what I need. The dogs also are aware when someone's not well, and they cater to that person in that they'll stay very close. They don't get in their way, but they do watch over them and make sure everything is all right. They were a great addition to our family.
Wow. Now, I know what you're talking about with the dogs and caring about when we're very sick, because I remember when I had in elementary school and I had those really bad stomach problems and I was constantly running a fever. I always knew that, you know, Marta and Izzy would always be by me often. Whenever you weren't home, or even sometimes when you were home, they would just come in and check on me and shove their snotty noses in my face. Man, you really, really blew through these questions, but they're all very good answers, so thank you. Now, what did you do after graduating high school? Did you immediately marry Grandpa, or did you go into join the workforce, or what did you do there?
Well, my parents both attended Albion College, and that's where I had gone, and that's where we all expected I would go in the fall. And then my mother said, I think you should go to the community college for 2 years and then go to Albion for 2 years. And you have to understand, the community college in our town was actually a large mansion that had been used for psychiatric care. And that was the sum total of the campus. Well, foolishly, I wasn't having any part of that. And I was only 17. But I immediately started looking for a job, and I went to one of the banks and was interviewed by Mr. McGinn. And of course, he knew I was only 17. He said, "Your birthday is August 7th, and if you come back on August 8th, I will have a job for you." And I went to work at the bank, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working at the bank very much. I met my husband. We lived across the street from one another. But we had two high schools in Flint, and he went to the one high school, and I went to the other high school. And they were arch enemies, and his friends were there, and my friends were over here. So other than once in a while seeing one another in the yard, we didn't have very much to do with one another. And then his brother, there was no romantic attachment here, but his brother just liked to do things with me. He didn't have as many male friends as John did. And so sometimes we would walk downtown and go to a Chinese restaurant and have dinner and then walk back home. And one day we asked John. He never wanted to go. Didn't care for Chinese food. Wasn't his idea of an evening. But we asked him this one particular day, and he said, "Oh, I suppose I can go. I don't have anything else to do." So we all went for Chinese, and we had a great time, and we laughed. And a couple days later, he asked me to go to the theater, and we did. And one thing just led to another. And he was in the went to the Army and was at Fort Bliss. And when he got home from Fort Bliss, we knew we were going to get married. So we did. Lived happily ever after.
Wow. Okay, well, I don't know about you, but I think that's a perfect way to end the interview. Thank you. Just to clarify, this all happened. You all grew up in Flint, Michigan.
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking me to do this with you. Have a good day.